Listen, I got unbelievably lucky with YouTube, and I don't know why. I still really, I mean, I know why in theory, like people have been like, well, you provide XYZ. But I don't know why I get to do this. Like I know that I have certain qualities that lend themselves to my strengths, that lend themselves to this medium, but it's completely and utterly luck. Putting out good videos, having a high quality camera, a high quality microphone, having finding out what your skill set is that you can use. So like the thing is like I remember like 5 years ago when I wasn't, or well, let's say 6 years ago, I'd be like, they would be talking about a streamer that like had a shtick. And I guess I accidentally fell back into my shtick, which was the opera singer.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Marco Camerota.
Do you have any suggestions for people who are getting into the whole YouTube thing? You know, things that you would have liked to have known when you started? that you can talk about.
You know what's funny is that I was, because I remember when people would be like, how do you get into voiceover? And I'd always be like, don't. Don't. How do you get into opera? Don't.
It's not working in your PJs. Yeah, it's a little more than that.
Listen, I got unbelievably lucky with YouTube, and I don't know why. I still really, I mean, I know why in theory, like people have been like, well, you provide XYZ, but I don't know why I get to do this. Like I know that I have certain qualities that lend themselves to my strengths, that lend themselves to this medium, but it's completely and utterly luck. Putting out good videos, having a high quality camera, a high quality microphone, having, finding out what your skill set is that you can use. So like the thing is like I remember like 5 years ago when I wasn't, or well, let's say 6 years ago, I'd be like, they would be talking about a streamer that like had a shtick. And I guess I accidentally fell back into my shtick, which was the opera singer, right? The guy.
It's definitely a hook.
Yeah, and I think like but what about your person that doesn't have a hook? Like what do they do to like, and I think just like being very like honest about what you truly feel. And the reality is that like it's not even the algorithm, which yes, the algorithm follows the audience, but at the end of the day, like the algorithm is the computer gods kind of make or break us. So many times I've put out a video that someone will be like, oh, this never popped into my recommended, or, I think just like also just deciding to start and just being like, you know what? I want to say this, or I'm really well versed in this.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your expertise? Where can you go from that?
Sometimes I bemoan the fact that I'm a variety channel because, it depends on the day. Like if I do end up, I also love streaming because I love interacting with the community, but it's like, I'll have one stream that literally my stream last night had 45 people in it. My stream right now had 400. And every day it just oscillates. Now my job is to be the constant. So if you want to come into a stream, you're welcome to do that. My job is just to show up, and there's a big difference between a 45 person evening soiree and a 400 person, concert. Or a 3,000 person, performance.
Sure.
And I try to, working with my therapist, we've kind of, that way it's not like, you don't get hung up on like, well, there's only 45 people there. Or it's
oh
not,
God, yeah.
Or oh, there's 3,000 people here, I'm nervous. Or, it's really about like, okay, well, what are the different levels of, a 45 person live stream is beautiful because you can actually have meaningful conversations.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do live streams on Clubhouse for a long time. I was doing audio rooms. If I had 45 people in there, I was lucky. That was huge.
Well, and what's crazy is that like I'm in the top 0.384%, top 0.4% of Twitch, which goes to show like how many people you know, and I'll maybe get 22 to 60, 70 people in there. It just depends on the day or the game. And just being grateful for, sorry, I'm going off on like 8 different tangents.
No, it's fine. I'm here for it.
I'm like, anyway, let me tell you about this. This isn't my therapy session. You're not my therapist. You don't even look like
I'm the proxy today.
Yeah. But anyway, all that to say, like, it's always so interesting to, like, you know, just being grateful to be able to do it. And, like, don't quit your day job, which is the same thing as voiceover. You never want to, like, throw all your eggs in a basket. Unless you have the capacity and the financial remuneration to. I was at a point where I had no other choice because I had nothing. I had voiceover was my main hustle. And then all of a sudden, I also got the opportunity to. I had the time and the opportunity. And I think that was really how I was able to capitalize on the experience of making this like a full-time thing. And that's been, it's been really interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to unpack there. But I mean, a channel that deals with the sound of video games is just like the music. I it's specialized, but at the same time, there are so many tangents you can go off on that people would probably greatly appreciate that it opens it up pretty widely, I would think, especially the way that you approach it. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. But so you're doing a lot of gaming and then making the channel and then doing voiceovers. So how does that all interchange? I mean, like, how do you make sure that you have room for everything?
Well, it just depends. I mean, like, in truth, a lot of things have been a lot slower. And I, you know, I think the last time I got auditions was maybe like 3 weeks ago. I mean, I used to direct market a lot more, and really I should be direct marketing for my YouTube channel now, but I haven't had the time to, like, things are okay, so I don't really need to.
It's been slow in general, I think. I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there, and it is tax season, so.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a lot going on for people, I think, so, yeah.
But in general, like, obviously, if something needs to get done, voiceover takes the priority and is the thing that gets done first. I had in January, I had a significant amount of e-learning from one company that it was funny. It was one of those instances where, like, you don't work for the company for like they know you, you're on the roster for like 2 years and you're like, okay. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I just made $2,000. Like, huh?
Nothing to sleaze at there. Yeah.
Not
that's
at all.
All good.
Not at all. And I was like, oh, I'm very busy. And then, you know, you try to be like, hey, I'm here. Thank you very much. You know, like, but I was very busy in January, just like doing these textbook audio learning things. And I was like, man, if I could do this, like, even once a month, I'd be so thrilled, just because it's like, it's easy, it's fun. And, it fits my schedule, you know, like, so it was, yeah, but other than that, honestly, like, I've done some video game stuff, but in general, things have been, and honestly, I'm so busy with YouTube anyway that, like,
sure,
I feel a little bit disconnected from the voiceover, and I'm kind of glad, to be honest, just because of how much I know that it's so feast or famine for all of
us. Yeah, it's been interesting, especially lately, and especially with AI, which I want to ask you about as well. Are you seeing that crop up in some of the video games that you're looking into?
Not so much music. There have been some AI voiceover things that I've seen pop up, but and I haven't seen any AI art really. And I did recently listen, which is funny. It didn't perform super well, but I did actually end up getting a video, like, where AI continues the famous piece of video game music. And it's interesting how it's good, but also not good at the same time. Like, it just doesn't really sound. It just deviates and does its thing, and it's like, okay.
There's something interesting about AI-created stuff that is somehow disconnected from reality. That it's disconnected from humanness. Mm-hmm. That whether or not it immediately sounds like that, we can kind of tell. I don't know how to explain that other than to say it's a feeling.
You know, it's interesting. There was an instance where I was listening to some YouTube music on a playlist and I was like, man, this guy goes off. And then I looked and it was actually AI. And I was like, oh. And so then the question became, do I still listen to this or do I not care or do I like turn it off? And I eventually decided to turn it off, but it was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, interesting. There's a lot to unpack there too. I mean, I'm sure this is going to become more of a thing as the years pass because the AI will get better.
Yeah.
But it all depends on how humans are using it, really. So, you know, I did a whole other solo podcast about AI and music that was interesting. There's been some developments very early on. Like, they've had this stuff since the 60s, really.
Right.
But yeah, it does its own thing.
Yeah, that's a whole like massive conversation.
Yeah.
Yes. There's so much to think about when it comes to, yeah, I mean, we could get into it for like 2 hours.
Yeah, we don't necessarily have time for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot that could be said. I'm kind of hoping, I think the analogy that I used was I would rather have AI balance my books than write my novel.
Yes. I think that ChatGPT can be a fantastic assistant. I don't want it to write my scripts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like it could, and I could let it, but I choose to have it not. Now, will I help it? Will I ask it to, you know, help me organize a workout routine or help me with, you know, a specific question about diet that I can't necessarily find on Google, which, you know, I always try to defer to Google first before ChatGPT. But
I mean, use it to figure out packing lists.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's great. I mean, like,
yeah, works pretty good for that.
Oh my God. Like the, you know, I had a tax form question.
Sure.
And it was like, boom. And I was like, okay, yeah, that reads right. And then I just, you know, and then I confirmed it with an accountant and I was like, okay.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So there are uses for it, but I think the creativity of it, maybe that's not the way to go. Also, I was talking with advertising executives not too long ago and asking them, actually, Steve Keller on my, on one of my podcast interviews, he mentioned that there are people, I'm pretty sure he was the one who mentioned this, there are people who are using AI to come up with ideas for advertising campaigns and then going in a completely different direction because that's the middle of the road, most obvious one. Now do something different.
That's a great barometer check.
Yeah.
Huh,
yeah, it kind of is. Yeah.
Never thought about that.
So yeah, I found that a little fascinating.
Hey, Jody, it's Ralph from the Ask Ralph Show. I just wanted to tell you what a great job you're doing. You do a superb job of bringing meaningful content, and your interviews are always professional and top-notch. You are a true professional, and I wish you the most success. I can't wait to listen to your next episode. What a great show. Thanks, and keep up the great work.
So you mentioned briefly that you have been a voice in video games. Can you talk a little about that? Was there a particular one that you really enjoyed the most?
I enjoyed both immensely. I mean, so I've been in three. Well, one is not out yet. Oh, yeah. Well, the biggest one was Metal Slug Awakening, which is a gacha game based off of Metal Slug. Obviously, it's like, you know, it's from the 90s and they revamped it. And that kind of, I think like people are sort of hit or miss on it. It was really fun. It was the biggest project I've ever been on. It must have been thousands of lines. And it was really cool. Yeah. It was really
That's
cool.
A lot. So,
yeah, I know. It was awesome to be in the booth and really feel like actively working and engaging with the voiceover process. And then I was also in Genshin Impact as this larger NPC, a non-playable character where I got to, you know, basically be a musician, or like a conductor for this music event. And it was just happenstance that's what happened. And some smaller roles and things. And it was just really like, it felt, some people were like, well, it doesn't even seem like he's acting. And I'm like, well, that's what acting is.
Yeah, you're not supposed to see the sausage being made.
Yeah, I don't need to be a voice. But it was really fun to sort of bring some of the stuff that I've also carried with me in the channel, which is where a lot of people had known me from. So yeah, those two were really special. Actually, I have a You can't see it, but I have a painting over there of my character. And
Okay, cool.
if I never voice a character again, I'm happy that I voiced that one random dude, Dvorak. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was really cool.
Well, hopefully there are more. I mean, you never know what the future will hold. But
ideally.
Yeah. That's really great. Yeah. Why don't you tell me a little about your channel and what you're working on there now?
Sure.
Just to get an idea of what people would be finding if they went there.
I mean, my channel is really just like, the goal is to have it be a hub of video game music where if someone maybe doesn't know something or likes something or doesn't like something, they can come and hear a person who is just like them with a little bit of extra experience, or equal experience, or the person could actually have more experience than me and also offer their insight. It's really a hub of music from video games, and that's it's changed a lot in the last 3 years. When I started it, my mission statement was essentially healing my own grief, and then the second year was really about, you know, getting people to pay attention, and then this third year has been really like, okay, well, what is active listening, and how can I teach that? How can I enhance a person's learning, listening experience so that they can highlight their likes and dislikes, so they can highlight what they love, so that they can feel validated or feel, a sense of, the understanding of a critique or why something doesn't work for me, so that they can go and be like, well, I like this much more than he does because this, this, and this, and this. Now, that's my nuanced hope for the channel. Is it quite like that? No, it's quite much more black or white. Well, you don't like it? Well, blah, 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 blah. Or I agree with you. It's very rare on YouTube, especially to find and the internet on the whole, obviously, to find the sort of center ground. But my hope is, and I've always excelled. I've had my own fair share of missteps, but my goal is to always have people come and be like, okay, today I'm listening to this. I love this piece. And here's a person who understands why I love it and makes me love it more. That's ultimately, or he doesn't like it. I see what he's saying. I see this now. Oh yeah. Yeah. I could see why he would think that, but I like it because of XYZ or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that's really it's just a place to gather and celebrate as much as my ability to like actually make this content is because it sure. requires so much time and editing from my editor and all this other stuff, like, you know, that's ultimately the goal.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a great goal, and it sounds like you're influencing a lot of people who are really enjoying your content. So it's a great community. It seems like a really good one. So
yeah. Yeah.
And I've hung out there a couple of times.
You have. I know. It's so nice. I mean, it's been really nice to have the sort of regulars whose usernames you can start to recognize. And there is a degree of parasocial where they see me and I don't see them. And who knows if we would actually be friends in real life, if at all, you know, and it has its own little shares of sort of quibbles and pitfalls that are a little bit of a predicament at times. But in general, I feel like at 37 years old, I feel very lucky that this is what I get to do because I've always felt that this music was deeply influential to me. And so to be able to be like a person that, and it is a bit of an uphill battle, like, you know, gameplay folks will always take precedence in a lot of different ways because I'm essentially a sub niche of a niche, mm-hmm, even though mm-hmm. it's not really accurate because and that's actually why I've moved away from just being the opera singer reacts to.
Yeah.
Because the gameplay and the music and the experience really are synonymous. But the industry doesn't necessarily view it that way. They may say, oh, I love this music, but they don't necessarily like want to meet the two in the middle, if that makes sense. So that was my goal in trying to integrate and why I stream so much.
Yeah, sure. Where are you hoping it will go in the future?
Well, what I'm hoping is my channel.
Yeah.
I mean, my dream, I have a couple dreams. One of them is to like announce, you know, be a member of the voting judges for the BAFTA, to be a member of the Grammy Association so that I'm actively helping, you know, not only pick, but also judge and vote on soundtracks.
Sure. You know, well, I certainly sound qualified. So
I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, my goal is to present my big dream is to present the Game of the Year award winner at like a big event, like the Game Awards, which is like the Oscars of cool. the, yeah. Yeah, very cool. That's like a big dream. And then also, I just think just like being in a position where gaming culture, art, all of those things sort of coalesce at the channel. And while it is, at the end of the day, it is a reaction channel, the hope is that, you know, that sort of moniker, that titling dissipates, and what's left is just like a place to vibe and hang out and talk about music and like just hang out, really, you know. And we're starting to get there, which is like kind of shocking, and maybe my affirmations are working.
So it took about 3 years.
Yeah, which is insane. I mean, like, again, I'm so lucky.
That is really fantastic. What have you learned from having the channel? I mean, because as teachers, you actually end up learning from the students a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what have you learned from having the channel? What have the people on the channel taught you?
Well, I'm definitely not the smartest person in the room most of the time.
I think that's always the case. It's all about being curious, right?
Yeah. I think I've also, I mean, I've learned about so many more pieces of music. Like, I had a deep fundamental love for music and games, but I didn't realize how deep the trench would go for me, and how many games that I would be exposed to that I would fall in love with as well.
Any particular pieces that surprised you?
Well, yeah, shockingly, a lot of Ace Combat. Ace Combat is a fighter plane game.
I think you might have played one of those when we were talking.
I'm a shill for Ace Combat. I love Ace Combat. Ace Combat really blew me away. I didn't expect it to be like that. It's so rich and orchestral and flamenco and a bunch of different prog rock, and like there's from a fighter plane video game, like the most theoretically the most shallow thing you could think of.
So did someone introduce you to that, or
a patron
did you
decide? A person who was paying to share songs.
Wow. Okay.
I was like, okay, Ace Combat, sure. And then I dove in, and it just blew me away. I think it's also, I've also learned to continue to, I think the biggest thing is every day to stay open-minded. I like to think I'm generally a very open-minded person, but I do have my fair share of, like, you know, closed-minded aspects. So like staying open, has been huge, because people are always like, hey, have you heard of this? Or a new game just came out. Have you heard the music for it yet? Or hey, have you ever listened to, and I'm like, no, yes, no. And it's like, okay, how do I, you know, just sort of stay, or I've really learned to really own my opinions.
That makes sense, sure.
It's very easy to be like, well, I don't like it because of this. And then imagine when you're actually challenged on that and have to actually defend it in a public forum, no less. And so it's taken a lot of time. And I think I'm finally there where I can be like, no, I'm defending my opinion because X.
Well, it's your opinion and you're entitled to your opinion, right? I mean,
yeah, but I never thought about why I had that opinion to the point that I really needed to like own it.
How would you explain it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, really just like, yeah, but there's so much beauty in music and sometimes it feels weird to be a pundit, but I'm still actively engaging with it, and I still recognize that I am a key component of the funnel of, like, I'm friends with some of these composers now, I'm friends with some of these singers now, and I can be critical of them or positive of them without debasing them or shutting them down, and also encouraging, you know, staying. And that's a very hard thing for people, because if you don't like it, then why are you being positive about it? Well, it's like, well, you know, the constructive criticism it's been really fun to continue to stay wide, like I was with opera, even though I work from the comfort of my home and stuff, you know?
Sure. Special thanks to Marissa Kelly for her very generously buying me a coffee on my Buy Me a Coffee page. Marissa is a virtual event producer and event planner in Tennessee. And if you happen to need that kind of service, you can reach out to her on Instagram or X at #Marissa or on her website at marissa-kali.com. And that's spelled marissa-kali.com. Thanks again, Marissa. I really appreciate your support. Well, I mean, even if you're critical of something, it doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad piece of art.
Not
at all.
It
just means it's not for you. That's all it means.
Well, there's a big thing between saying this is garbage and it's not really for me because this, this, and this, and this, right? Mm-hmm. Versus like this sucks. I mean, it's like such a, you know, shutting something down is never ultimately very all that useful, isn't it? It's interesting.
Yeah. Being curious is always a good thing.
Yeah.
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 So just to end us off here, I'm going to get a little philosophical and I want to ask you why you think sound is important. I know it's a big question, but I'm curious.
I mean, sound, music, the
voice, it's all
voice,
a part of it.
I mean, if I had to be, it would be really difficult to choose between being blind or being deaf. And in some ways, losing sound would hurt in some ways more, because the lilt in someone's voice, the beautiful way that a horn and the strings meld together and become this like beautiful sunrise of music, right? The hearing breath, like, you know, hearing the dog bark down the street, you know, the wind rustling in the wheat and the leaves, like these are the soundtracks of our lives.
I am old enough to know where that's from.
Oh, what's that from?
That's from a soap opera.
Is it really? Oh my God.
Sort of. I think there's one word different in there, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Days of Our Lives?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's funny. Well, I didn't mean to do that, but that's funny.
No, it's okay. It's fun.
But these are the real music. So it's funny because like John Cage, there's a piece 4 minutes and 33 seconds, right? And all it is a pianist or an orchestra sitting there and not doing anything for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. And
so how long does it take before people start to laugh?
But is the laughter music?
I don't know. Maybe.
Right.
I guess
that was John
Cage's. Are you opening
Cage's
the floor for everyone else? Is that?
Well, the whole idea is that there's the noise that you hear is actually the music.
Okay.
And at the time, it was sort of a crazy. I mean, it still is a little crazy, but it's a powerful idea. You know, there's a piece in Monster Hunter called the Kezu, and the Kezu is a monster that is essentially from a nightmare that one of the game designers or the game director, I can't remember the details, had. But this monster has no music. All you hear is the roars of the Kezu, or the way that it like sucks up electricity from the ground and uses it as a conduit to release an electric fire on you. And what I find amazing about that is that kind of people meme on it and they kind of joke. But actually, the sound of silence is way more terrifying than the actual sound that you know, the soundtrack.
Yeah, it totally is. If we don't hear birdsong, we know there's something up.
Right.
You know, that's inherent in humanity.
Right. Or now that it's no longer winter in certain parts of the world, we're starting to hear our birds again. And suddenly, you know, it's a beautiful day because the birds are out there rather than the storm coming soon, you know? So there's a,
yeah,
there's this beautiful, I mean, that's that sound to me.
Yeah, I think it's really important in our lives for you know, we have a soundtrack to our lives.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah, like you said, yeah. I think it's pretty important. So how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to do that? I've really enjoyed this discussion, and I think a lot more people should know about your channel.
Yeah, of course. I mean, my YouTube channel is www.youtube.com/MarcoMeatball. I'm there entirely too often. I also have a Discord community, if that is interesting to people. And then also I'm pretty much most prevalent on X, Twitter, at Marco D Meatball. And then on Blue Sky and same, but I'm much more prominent on I can't quit Twitter because I need it for work. So
can't quit it. Oh no.
It helps for work, but it's at times miserable place to be. Oh. But that's where you can find me.
I have to ask, where did Marco Meatball come from?
I had a friend in high school and we were thinking about doing a wrestling federation on the trampoline. And he was like, you know, it'd be funniest if your name was Marco Meatball.
I love that.
And then I was like, yeah, at first I was kind of offended, but then I was like, yeah, actually. And so that was my like sort of wrestling name.
That's funny. Marco Meatball. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Marco.
Oh my God, Jody, of course. A lot of fun. It's been 2 years in the making, so I'm thrilled that we got it 1 hour after two years, but we're here. We did it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time,